أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا أمة بعد أمته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون وقال تعالى إنا أردنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها وأشفقن منها وحملها الإنسان وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا ضيعت الأمانة فانتظر الساعة أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم ربي زدني علما. Respected ulama kiram, hufaz of the Quran, brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us onto earth. Our first nisbah and relationship we have is that we are the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us in a society, in an ummah, in a community, because of which we are surrounded by fellow human beings. So the first responsibility and duty we all have is to be the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be the true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to all of our ibadat. The performance of salah has to be as it is desired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, demonstrated by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The pain of zakat, that which generally majority of the ummah is calculating pain off in the month of Ramadan, but that's another topic for another day. But that's the responsibility. Sometimes a person says, Maulana, I don't know how much this is worth, but I know how much I spend monthly. So how do I calculate my zakat? I mean, we can't give you any figures. So if you're going to estimate or gestimate, whatever you want to say, then that's going to be perhaps far from the reality and you'll fall short in your responsibility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it comes to our ibadat, we have responsibilities. Daily, it's salah. Yearly, we've got zakah. And other aspects of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But with regards to the relationship of fellow human beings, the first is our family. Our wife, children, parents. These are all responsibilities, relationships that we have to be careful as to how we deal with them. That's mu'ashara. Be very careful. And we leave our house, we have to earn money and come back. And that's the duty, responsibility to bring halal sustenance, earnings back into the home. So all of these actions, ibadah, mu'ashara, mu'amala, the perfect, complete execution of all of these requires one fundamental, very valuable quality that needs to be worked, developed, and enhanced. And that is that quality of amana. The present time that we live our lives and we sin, then the environment is just about not having amanat. Like there is no trust. And this is one of the signs of qiyamah as we would mention. So how we deal with people, generally we say, kama tadin tudan, as you deal, you'll be dealt with. What goes around comes around. So, and for illustration purposes, an example is given that there was a farmer and there was a baker. So these two had a long relationship. The baker had come to the farmer and he says, listen, I need butter from you. So he says, no problem, my price is 1 pound of butter, this is the price. A measurement. This is the pound of butter and this is the price. So that continued for some time, months, that this baker would buy from this farmer 1 pound of butter. And after some time, many moons, many years, the baker decided, he says, I want to weigh this butter. I've been buying from him 1 pound of butter. Let's just see, it seems to be shrinking. So he weighed it and he sees it's less than a pound. So he lodges a complaint, goes to the judge of the time, and he says, listen,
I've got a problem. I don't know for how long I've been cheated and deceived. Long-standing arrangement, I used to buy a pound of butter from him, and I see over time it has been shrinking, but recently I've weighed it, and it couldn't be a mistake because over a month it has been less than a pound. So the judge says, fair, we'll have to deal with this. So he calls the baker, and he says, the farmer and the baker both are in the court. It says that there is a case. This farmer has been supplying you with a pound of butter. The farmer has been supplying you with a pound of butter. But now the complaint is you've been given less than a pound. So how do you measure your butter when you give? So this farmer says, judge, I'm so sorry. I'm from the old school. I don't know how these things work. But, I've got an old measurement, old fashioned. He says, so how do you measure less than a pound? He says, I don't even know what's a pound. But I know from this baker, every day I buy a pound of bread. So I don't know what's a pound of butter. I put his bread on the scale. I measure the butter and I pay him. So whatever he is giving me, that's what he's getting back. I don't know what's a pound. I don't know how to measure it. But he is giving me a pound of bread. And that's the arrangement, to sell to me a pound of bread. So I've been buying that for ages. And recently I've decided to support the man and I'll buy a pound of butter. So he's getting what he gives me. So what goes around comes around. If there is going to be that lack of amana, some way or the other, this is going to come back. Tailspin, and is going to be eating us in our within. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. When discussing the characteristics, the salient qualities of a believer, in the first page of Suratul Mu'minun, and we as believers coming close and drawing closer to the month of the Quran Sharif was sent as a divine message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written a letter. And he says, oh my banda, I love you, but you have to be this. This is what I require. Then I love you. You are mine. This is my servant. So there are certain qualities that are enlisted in the first page. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. And the first quality is that خُشُو خُدُو in salah. First quality a person should have, total concentration in his salah. That's an amana. It's a responsibility. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَعُونَ. A believer is he who's very meticulous regarding trust. Very particular about his trust. The discharging of trust, looking after when he's entrusted with anything. This is the salient quality of a believer, that he is meticulous, he's careful with regards to this quality of amana, amanadari. Nabi Sam said, la imana liman la amanatala. If a person lacks amanat and trustworthiness in his iman, because these two go together, the stronger the level of iman, the higher the responsibility and trustworthiness in a person. But that iman, if that is going to be less, then that shows in the amana, in the trust of the person. Amana dari. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with this quality of amana dari. You know, we can talk about politics of the world. We can go into Greenland. We can go to Venezuela. And we're scared whether we're going to be the next Venezuela. I mean, we against the West. And who are we, you know, who are we hosting in Cape Town? And what drills had happened? We can talk the politics of the world. We can talk about the bullying that's happening and how do you take over this international law. Yes, we can harp about the board of members, you know, of peace, and say, how can the people who are really the criminals in the international court of justice be on the board of peace? Members of this board of peace, how is that possible? We can talk about all of that. But it starts in my own life. If those governments have to fall, am I ready to be the Abu Bakr and the Umar of the Ummat to say that this is how I will govern a country? If we want to be ready for governance of a country, how am I governing my institution? How am I governing my home? How am I governing my own business? What's that level of amana when I deal with others? If we are failing on a micro level, we're dreaming of that macro level. We're talking about the khilafah of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wishing and waiting for the khilafah. But this starts with natural intrinsic qualities that we're supposed to be having as believers. Amanadari, simple quality. How meticulous am I in my business? How meticulous am I with money when I'm entrusted? How careful am I when I deal with things? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Ibn Abbas, Ibn Mas'ud, and many other sahaba, Ali radiallahu anhum, all of them have given the definition of amana to say, al-amanatu fi kulli shay. Al-wudu, wa-salah, wa-zakah, wa-hajj. You see, every aspect of your life is an amana. The moment you are making wudu, that's an amana. Am I wasting water? Because it's the masjid. And at home, I'm careful about the meter running. It's an amana. When I come and use the facility of the masjid, whether it be the toilets or whatever it is, because it's masjid, just leave everything on. And in my house, we left the room, then we off the lights. And we all sitting in one area and we off the aircon. Because that's my house and there's a bill to pay. Well, there's masjid, there's some well-wishers that are looking after it. We can't be abusing. It's an amana when I come. When I come into the masjid. With the moment I'm making wudu, it's an amana. I'm performing my salah, it's an amana. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is carefully watching, recording every action of mine. How am I close to the sunnah? Do I replica the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my salah? In every action of mine. And this quality we have to bring within ourselves, being trustworthy in every aspect of our lives. Being trustworthy even in our marriages. Being careful as to how we deal with our spouses and our children. Unfortunately, sometimes the cases are even scary to even speak about. That the man always had this intention. Deep down, he had this desire and intention. One day I'll take that second throw. One day I'll take. I will one day. He's been talking to his wife and he's making her tarbiyat. She's not accepting. But what happened? The parents, the wife's parents pass away. Within a month, he takes his second wife. How inconsiderate and what oppression is this? She's just dealing with the loss of her parents. And you know she doesn't have a house to run to. You say, now I'll take it. Where's the amanat? You've also got a daughter. How would you want that to be played out with your daughter when she gets married? And she comes to your house. Or she has no house to go to. Allah protect us. There's too many broken hearts. There's too many broken homes. There's too many hurt and paining hearts. That he's owing me and he's still owing me. Mawlana, he's going for Umrah, he's doing Hajj, he's owing me money. He says, no business, not like before. You know, you're not like before. But how he's going Umrah, he's going for Hajj. That responsibility I have to pay a person. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimullah was in a, he was in a partnership with a person by the name of Bishr rahimahullah. So in this arrangement, 70 garments had come. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimullah had told and mentioned to his partner, listen, I'm going out, I will not be available. If you strike a deal, don't ever forget to mention to the potential purchaser that there is a flaw in the garment. So he says, yes, definitely, Hazrat, I will do that. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimullah goes for some work, very busy with his ilm teaching, whatever it would be. And he comes back and he asks his partner, how's everything? How's the business? He says, yes, I've got some money to pay you. So he presents the money. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimullah collects it and he's trying to recall what deals had taken place for this money and profit. So he says, yeah, this deal and that deal. So he says, the 70 garments. He says, alhamdulillah, sold. So he says, did you mention to the potential purchaser that there is a flaw in it? He says, innocent mistake, I forgot. Innocent mistake, I forgot to mention to the person. Where's the person? I don't know where's the person. He says, Jazakumullah. What's the allocation of those funds? The capital and the profit, I will give it in sadaqah. If I get little bit shubha in my pure wealth, that's going to affect me in my deen. That's going to affect me in my deen. Little bit contamination. He gave, forget about the profits. He gave the entire capital also. He says, that is the command of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If there's a flaw, you have to highlight it. If there's a problem, there's a fault, there's a aib, you have to mention it and bring it to the attention of the potential purchaser. To say that this has a flaw, are you happy with this? My price is not negotiable, but this has a flaw and this is the price for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. We heard this incident time and time again, but it's about breeding qualities within ourselves, making an effort, sitting with the right people, so we can glean these qualities. We know Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimullah was a towering scholar in the Hanafi school of thought. And like that in his ascetism and him being a zahid and him being a great scholar. But what led to all of this? This was his father being very careful as an employee. Very meticulous. Mubarak was working for a person and the orchard had pomegranates, just to remind us. And the owner asked him for a sweet pomegranate. He brings a pomegranate. He cuts the pomegranate and he says, I asked you for a sweet one. Perhaps you don't know what's sweet. Get me another one. So he brings the second and he brings the third. All were not sweet. He says, simple command of bringing a sweet pomegranate, you don't understand. How do I keep you in employment in my farm? You don't know what's sweet. So he turns to the master and he says, oh master, since the day I took employment in this place, in this orchard, by the qasam of Allah, I haven't even tasted one pomegranate because I don't have permission for it. I cannot taste it. How will I know the difference between sweet and bitter? I don't know the difference. And a person who's employed in a company and you've got a company car, ask yourself, how do I drive my personal vehicle and how do I drive the company vehicle? Is it the same? How do I go over the speed bumps? How do I approach lights, traffic lights and the robots? How do I drive? Is it just anyhow because it's a company car and you must pay for it and the work is getting done? Or is it the amana in it to say, listen, someone is looking after it. It does belong to someone. I have to be careful. There are examples of people of the past amongst the aslaf that there was a principal or there was a teacher or a principal in a madrasa and he had picked up the phone to speak to someone related to the madrasa. Pure madrasa work. Perhaps they were purchasing something or something related to the madrasa. So when he completed the discussion, ordered whatever he required, the person on the other side on the phone, he said, Maulana Ji, since we're on the call, one more thing. So he asked him, personal, madrasa related? He said, no, personal. He said, okay, give me a minute. Maulana puts the phone down, takes us his phone from his pocket, and he phones the person. And he speaks to him to his heart's content. After some time, he says, Maulana, I'm just trying to understand. You put the phone down, you said me 1 minute. Within a couple of seconds, you phoned me back. What was that all about? He said, see, the madrasa is a trust. I've been trusted with this. I cannot misuse the funds for the madrasa. I use the telephone for pure madrasa work. Anything personal, I use my personal phone for your personal work. I will not use the madrasa. I don't have permission for that. So that level of trustworthiness that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the sign of a munafiq is that he does not possess trust. Sign and of a hypocrite. Towards the end of time, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned to Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu two ahadith. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, Ra'aytu ahadahuma wa ana antadhiru al-akhar. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to me two scenarios, two ahadith, two situations. One of them I've seen, I'm living that era. The other I haven't seen, perhaps we'll wait for that until it unfolds. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, first Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned that نزلت الأمانة في جزر قلوب الرجال ثم علموا من القرآن ثم علموا من السنة. He says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had deeply embedded amana and trustworthiness into the hearts of the people in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. They had total amana and trust in them. When they possessed this quality of amana and trustworthiness, they understood Quran Sharif, they understood Hadith Sharif. Today, how much of amana is in us? We open up English translations and we want to derive, you know, rulings. Yet the people of the past were very meticulous, particular about amana. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with the understanding. It was an understanding that Allah blessed them with. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned that was the beginning of times, that first amana had come. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned that towards the end of time, a sign of qiyamah, a sign of qiyamah, that yanamu rajulun nauma, a person will go to sleep, and when he wakes up the next morning, the level of trust in society compared to yesterday is only deteriorating and getting worse. It's only getting lost. And more by the percent, we're losing that amana. Nabi Sam says a person goes to sleep, amana that's left amongst people, mithla atharil wakti, it'll be just like a scar. So there's a topic of amana, people speak about trustworthiness, and we know there is such a topic, and we see certain people having it. And then Nabi Sam says that after a passage of time, some time will pass, eventually becomes like a blister or a banin, meaning there's a pocket of skin and underneath there's nothing. It just looks like it's something protruding and big, but it's actually hollow inside. He says people will look as if they got amana dari. It looks like they're pious. It looks like he is good, but he's actually hollow on the inside. He possesses no qualities. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, a time will come, it will be news, inna fi bani fulan rajulan aminan. You heard that town got a very, very trustworthy person. That town got one man who is very trustworthy. This family, I don't see any trustworthy person. This whole family, no one's a be careful of him. إِذَا ضُيِّعَتِ الْأَمَانَةُ فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَةِ. When amana is going to be lost, Nabi Sallam says, wait for Qiyamah. It's a matter of time. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, which is the sad reality, that a person will be said, مَا عَقَلَهُ مَا أَظْرَفَهُ مَا أَجْلَدَهُ. This person is so intelligent, he's so sharp, he's so good. He's so good, this person. And he's got so much of amana dari in him. But that person possesses not even an iota of iman. But he's got amanat in him. He's got trustworthiness. If you look amongst the Khulafa Rashidun, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he becomes Khalifa. The moment he becomes Khalifa, he carries on with life. He's walking in the marketplace, he's trading, buying, selling. Umar radiallahu anhu comes to him, he says, Amirul Mu'mineen, O Amir, O leader, you're supposed to be holding a position, sitting on the pedestal, and see to the issues that concern the Ummah. So he says, but I need to earn for my family, I need to feed the family, so I have to be working. So he says, no, we cannot do this. Abu Ubaidah, please come. Abu Ubaidah is summoned, he's Aminu Hadihil Ummah. And then Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, do you have funds available in Baytul Mal, in the public treasury? So he says, yes. He says, right. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is responsible for the affairs of the Ummah. We cannot allow him to continue with business, otherwise the matters will not be settled. Let's see to his needs so he can stop business. So he stops business, his basic needs are paid for. One day his wife said, I'm feeling for a sweet dish. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, I don't have extra money for that sweet dish. So she says, okay, let's see what we can gather to have a sweet dish. Over a period of time, she prepared the sweet dish. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asked, excuse me, how do you prepare the sweet dish? You see, over time I was putting some extra money and saving. So with that extra money, I had the luxury and I prepared the sweet dish. He says, Jazakumullah. How much was it daily? He gave the amount. He says, that's how much I'm going to deduct from my necessity and my money that I require now. Because I don't need the sweet dish in my house. It's beyond my need. The rest belongs to the ummah. And I don't understand on the day of Qiyamah answering for the ummah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is close to demise. And then he calls the children. He says that certain property, sell a piece of the land. Sell a piece of it. That will fulfill the money that I've taken for my necessities from Baytul Mal. I was taking a salary. Please put it back in Baytul Mal. It's public money. I know I'm entitled to it. But I have to set a very high bar and standard. Give it back to Baytul Mal. The day he passes away, Umar radiallahu anhu tears. He says, Rahim Allahu Abu Bakrin, qad at'aba Allahu man ba'da. He says, oh Abu Bakr, what a high standard. You're making it difficult for us to follow suit. How are we going to come to that? Umar radiallahu anhu is about to pass away. He calls his son. He says, oh my son, this house is valued at that price. I know how much money I have taken from Baytul Mal. All of that money does not go into inheritance. Sell it quickly and pay the Baytul Mal. This belongs to the Ummah. I don't understand on the day of Qiyamah. And everyone comes to me and he says, you also got my money. And you also got my money. And you must use that. And then I have to be paying him with a different currency. My Amal Agwin. Then Amal Agwin. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, and the topic is over. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz is on deathbed. He's known as Umar Thani. Young age of 39, he passes away. He was also the Khalifa for approximately 2 years and counting. Two years and a few months. About to pass away, his brother-in-law comes. He calls for his brother-in-law. Brother-in-law says, you've deprived your children. You've deprived them. He says, what have I deprived my children of? He says, you're about to pass away. You haven't taken a salary from Baytul Mal. Had you taken a salary, they have been comfortable today. But now they don't have anything. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passes away. They go into his house and they look in. What they find? They find a bedding. They find one plate and they find one cup. He says, this is for inheritance. And his clothes. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz is about to pass away. His brother-in-law is saying, you have destroyed your children. You have deprived them. You haven't taken the full salary. You know, you could have set them up so nicely. You're the Khalifa of the time. So he calls his children. He wants to see whether they're on the same page or not. He says, oh my children, I had two options. Either I could have taken, I'm entitled to the money from Baytul Mal, but perhaps I would have given you extra and that would have been my Jahannam. I prefer to secure my Jannah and leave nothing for y'all. What are you happy with? Children says, oh my father, we're happy with Jannah for you. He says, I'm also happy, but I have entrusted you to Allah and Allah will take care of you. And the historians say, there hasn't been a city that the children of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz ever visited, except the people asked, who are you? The moment they say, progeny of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, please, we want to host you, be our guest. We want to take care of you, there's the gifts. He looked after us, why should you abandon you? And this is the dua. You know when a person goes, amazing dua, person goes out on the safar, what we say? أَسْتَوْدِعُ اللَّهَ دِينَكَ وَأَمَانَتَكَ وَخَوَاتِيمَ عَمَلِكَ أَسْتَوْدِعُ اللَّهَ I entrust to Allah. Dinak, your deen. Be careful when you are going on safar. Sometimes we forget about salah. Sometimes we miss our salah. Amanatak, first thing is your deen. Number two, وَأَمَانَتَكَ Be careful of your amana while you are on safar. I entrust Allah with that quality of you. Which means as a musafir, don't lose your amanadari. Don't lose your trustworthiness. Be careful of how you deal with the ahkam of Allah and with people around. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. We be careful as to how we deal with people around. We have to be careful, meticulous with our ta'alluq with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ibadat, month of Ramadan is coming. An opportunity for us to ask for maaf from anyone we have. Oppressed or otherwise, and it's a time to prepare and better ourselves for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah subhanahu